That means it's going to be an awesome show, guys.
Coming to you live from the west side of the I Street Bridge, it's the Nate Darling Show.
Call me sir, goddammit.
With Jason Casey and Kareem Daniels. And now, trust him. He's a professional.
Pardon my French, but you're an asshole.
Here's Nate.
Okay. I love how you said you better record this one, as though they're not all recorded.
That's what I said,
yeah. We're back. We had a little technical difficulty as we originally started the show, so 12 seconds of goodness was lost.
It was amazing.
12 seconds. You'll never know. You'll never know what you missed. Coming up on the show today, you'll never believe what happened to a conversion therapist. Or maybe you will. Plus, a baggage handler loses their job after they fall asleep. The Golden State Warriors think their fans are suckers, and they just may be right.
What?
And before we get to all of that, it's time for a post-election wrap-up, because we recorded before the election last week. And the Democrats have taken back the House. There's still several races that are up in the air. As of Monday morning, we're recording this. The president was tweeting some nonsense about Florida. Apparently, he doesn't realize that there are Florida laws that mandate recounts when races are a certain closeness about them. So that's happening. It was a really weird week for the president. He went all the way to France, and then it was raining, so he didn't go to the World War I Memorial. Because, I mean, it was only the 100th one. It wasn't a big deal or anything. But it was raining, so he stayed in his hotel and tweeted terrible things about California.
But, I mean, why would they, but had no basis in fact?
None at all. That was only overshadowed by the callousness of them, as we're recording this show, the Butte Fire in it's the Campfire. Sorry, it's called the Campfire, which is a terrible name because Campfire is supposed to be fun. This is not fun. It's in Butte County, California, and as we're recording this, there are 29 people who've lost their lives, and there's still about 200 people missing.
Yeah.
The president did today, Monday, declare a state of emergency for California, and there will be federal funds coming. So ultimately, what?
That's after he got drugged.
Yeah, I don't even want to know. But that's all happening. And if you're outside of the Sacramento area, you're listening somewhere around the country, around the world, around Sacramento, and the campfire is about 90 miles from here. And ever since Saturday, the entire Sacramento region has been socked in with smoke. It looks foggy, but it's smoke.
Yeah.
And, it's pretty brutal. Like, Sacramento State canceled their football game on Saturday because of it.
They canceled the Veterans Day parade today.
All the Veterans Day parades were canceled because it really wasn't safe for people to be outside for extended periods of time.
All the cafes, like, had no outdoor seating.
You know, I think that one's not as big a deal.
Well, I mean, like, you know, but I mean, like, it was like across the board, like everything was shut down. It had to do with outside.
Yeah, I mean, yes, and it's going to stay that way for probably the next few days at least.
Yeah. And the NFL was considering canceling or moving the 49ers game.
They did not. It's the Niners are leading as we're recording this.
Yeah, but the smoke had gone that far to where they were. They've been monitoring it.
Yeah, it's been kind of crazy with all of that, and essentially the town of Paradise burned down. The town burned down.
Yeah.
It's insane the amount of devastation. I'm sure you've seen it on the news, but and then of course there's another wildfire going in Southern California. Several celebrities have lost their homes there, including Miley Cyrus and I forget who else, but there's like
Gerard Butler.
Yeah. it's a bad time. But when it doesn't rain for months and months and months and months and months and you get high winds and it's hotter and drier than it's been because climate change. These things get sparked and then they just go.
It's not climate change.
Yeah. Oh, it's
see,
not?
Nope. No, see, okay. Even the computer agrees with me. Mm.
Has nothing to do with it. Kareem, stop sharing links during the show, for fuck's sake. Pay attention.
I am paying attention.
That was what that was. Kareem shared a link.
Cat! Your cat! It's not even updates anymore. It's like, it's updates of like Kareem's activity.
Right.
Let me find another link to share.
Oh my God.
That's what that sound was.
We need to change that sound cue though to something else and have it happen throughout the show.
I would love to be able to turn off Facebook notifications completely. But there's something, and this is my wife's computer that I use for this part of the show that comes through on. And for whatever reason, even if I don't have Facebook open, notifications will pop through because thank you, Windows 10. there we go. Oh, that's not Kareem. That is
not
Kareem.
Me that time.
It's not. I'd asked one of my friends why he thought the Joe Cocker documentary on, or the Cock Doc on Netflix was so awesome.
Yeah.
There's a Joe Cocker documentary?
Yeah, I don't care either, Kareem. I know it's amazing.
No, I do care. I want to watch that.
Well, there you go. This all came out because I was having a conversation with him because I mentioned that if he had not seen it yet because he liked music documentaries, that he should check out Tricky Dick and The Man in Black. And he said, I've never heard of either of them. And then I had to explain, no, it's a documentary about Johnny Cash going to the White House.
I just added that to my list over the weekend.
Tricky Dick and The Man in Black. No, never heard of them. So, anywho.
Just because those things don't seem like they would be together, I guess, is the thing.
Well, and that's why it's a that's why it's an interesting sort of dichotomy. Yeah. But found out. And the thing about that one is they had Johnny Cash's sister, his brother, and his son were all interviewed for this doc. So,
oh, awesome!
Yeah, it was. It was interesting how things changed in the time frame, because he played at the White House in 1970 at the height of the Vietnam War. Mm-hmm. And later on I won't spoil the whole thing for you. It's absolutely worth a watch, and it's only about an hour, so it's not like, oh my God, I gotta sit here and watch a 2-hour documentary, oh my God, it's boring. No, it sucks. Yeah. It's like 58 minutes, so.
Oh yeah, okay.
Time well spent. Netflix is doing a series of documentaries that are all about an hour long, and they're all really quite good.
Yeah, there's they redid one on Bob Marley, I Shot the Sheriff, or Who Shot the Sheriff, I think that's what it's called.
Oh, I saw that. I didn't, so that's one of these hour-long ones also?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a ton of stuff. Netflix is generating a ton of content right now. They're going to be losing all the Disney stuff here in a year or two, which means all of the Marvel things as well. And since I mentioned Marvel, I'm sure you've seen it on your Facebook feed. Stan Lee passed away as the day we're recording this, but 95. That's a good run.
Yeah, it is.
That's a very good run. And, he seems to be one of those people that no one has a bad word about.
Yeah.
So, from people sharing experiences of interacting with him at a Comic-Con or whatever. As much as I was mildly irritated by the, oh, we must have a Stan Lee cameo in this movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not a big deal.
I wonder if they're going to insert him digitally into like all of them from here on out.
Well, you got to remember they've already wrapped on Avengers 4,
right?
So he's probably going to be in these Marvel movies for the next 2 to 3 years, just because they've already wrapped shooting on them.
Yeah.
So yeah, we haven't seen the last of Stan Lee, and it would be kind of cool to see him digitally inserted.
I think that's one of those things that he would totally.
Oh yeah,
down.
Yeah, I can't imagine that he would be upset about that. You know who was upset? The president. He was cranky the day after the election, and he got into it with NBC's Jim Acosta. If you haven't heard this, it's quite something.
Midterms.
Here we go.
That, well, if you don't mind, Mr. President.
Come on.
That.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So he calls. So he calls on him. Immediately calls on him before Acosta can even start his question. Here we go. Well, then why'd you call on him, Dick?
It was a hit job.
If you didn't want to answer his question, why'd you call on him? And then he gave him the hurry up. So it starts well.
In the midterms, that
here,
this,
here we go.
That well, if you don't mind, Mr. President, that this caravan was an invasion. As you know, Mr. President,
I consider it to be an invasion.
As you know, Mr. President, the caravan was not an invasion. It's a group of migrants moving up from Central America towards the border with the U.S.
Thank you for telling me that. I appreciate
why did you characterize it as such?
Because I consider it an invasion. You and I have a difference of opinion.
But do you think that you demonized immigrants in
not
this election
no, not
to try
all.
To
I want
keep
them. I want them to come into the country, but they have to come in legally. You know, they have to come in, Jim, through a process. I want it to be a process.
They're hundreds of miles away, though. They're hundreds and hundreds of miles away. That's not an invasion.
I think you should let me run the country. You run CNN.
All right.
And if you did it well, your ratings would be
ask,
much better.
If I may ask one other question. Mr. President, I was going to ask one of the other folks. Pardon me, ma'am. Mr. President, I had one other question, if I may ask, on the Russia investigation. Are you concerned that...
Okay, at this point, Trump puts his hands on his hips, mm-hmm. turns to the side, and you can almost hear him going, harumph.
Mm-hmm.
That you may have
I'm not concerned about anything with the Russian investigation because it's a hoax. That's enough. Put down the mic.
Mr. President, are you worried about indictments coming down in this investigation?
At that point, Trump starts to take a little walk from behind the podium. Like, what is going on here? Later that day, Sarah Sanders tweeted out a doctored video of the White House intern, who's a young lady, trying to take the microphone from Jim Acosta. I believe the video came from InfoWars, where she's trying to take the microphone, and he goes, excuse me, I'm trying to ask a question. And what they did was they sped up the part where he brings his hand down.
And then slowed it down.
Right, but he doesn't actually make any contact with her at all.
Yeah.
And then when he does that, she sort of does this weird squatting down thing, which if you saw Weekend Update, they did.
They inserted that in there.
Yeah. No, she actually did squat down in the
regular. No. I'm not talking about that part. I'm talking about the part where it looks like they're hand fighting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There was none of that. So they pulled Jim Acosta's, credentials from the White House. Which is kind of bullshit.
Yeah.
But here's the bigger bullshit thing. And I don't know if any of you guys experienced this at all, but I have friends who decided that this was the time to go, you know what? Jim Acosta was out of line here. And I decided I was done taking that nonsense. Because even if you don't like his style, and I get that. I get that you think he was being confrontational. I get that you think he was being standoffish. He was asking a question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So your point, he wasn't asking a question, is not at all correct. Was he grandstanding? Yeah, of course. He was grandstanding some. But he had to frame what was going on to go, you said this, but this is actually the case. Why were you doing that? Well, we have a difference of opinion. Well, what do you mean you have a difference of opinion? They're hundreds of miles away.
Yeah.
And so it was this whole thing like, well, we can not like Trump and still say Acosta was out of line. It's like, you're worried about the wrong thing here.
Right.
You are very much worried about the wrong thing. You have a president of the United States who almost never has a press conference. And when he does, is standoffish and dickish and then immediately bars the one reporter who stands up to him. Peter Alexander from NBC, who was the next one, he calls on him and he goes, well, I just want to let you know that Jim Acosta is a fine, fine man, does work. He goes, and Trump follows it up with, I'm not a fan of you either. I think that's right here.
Mr. President.
I'll tell you what, CNN should be ashamed of itself having you working for them. You are a rude, terrible person. You shouldn't be working for CNN. Go ahead.
I think that's unfair.
You're a very rude person. The way you treat Sarah Huckabee is horrible. and the way you treat other people are horrible. You shouldn't treat people that way. Go ahead.
And go ahead.
Okay. Donald Trump is lecturing this guy on how to treat people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He insulted six black women last week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
When they weren't even the ones at the topic of conversation.
He finds a way to do that anyway.
Yeah.
I believe that was the following day. Here we go. So during the conference, he turned on reporter, I'm going to mispronounce her name, Yamiche Alcindor of PBS's NewsHour. She said that on the campaign trail, you called yourself a nationalist. Some people saw that as emboldening white nationalists. Trump interrupted her and called it a racist question.
No, that's the logical question.
She pressed on, there are some people who say the Republican Party is seen as supporting white nationalists because of your rhetoric. What do you say to that? And he said, instead of answering the question, he goes, what you said is so insulting to me. It's a very terrible thing you said to me. So he then it's like, oh, you've insulted me. You've insulted my delicate sensibilities.
What a fucking snowflake.
Right? She moved on to a different topic, and later on Twitter she said that she has interviewed white nationalists who say they're more excited by Trump than they have been about other presidents. Even if Trump doesn't intend it, some see him as directly appealing to racists.
Hey, I didn't put this on Facebook yet, but this is my, like, not all Republicans are racist, but all racists vote Republican. You cannot say that. That's the truth.
I don't know. I'm not going to go that far.
Okay, Bernie.
So Bernie Sanders. Let's talk about Bernie Sanders for a brief moment here. Bernie Sanders, I think, let's see. He was speaking to old people. In old white people parlance. The problem is, when you take that out of context and put it out there on its own, it sounds really bad for him. And he waited way too long to get to his point. His point was, people are finding it difficult. There are some older people who are finding it difficult to vote for black candidates, but as we go forward, they'll find it easier and easier. The first part of that was really the only, because he took forever to get to the point.
Right.
That then became the point. And it upset quite a few people. I know Kareem said Bernie needs to pick a side.
Yeah, fuck Bernie.
Again, I don't really need a 70-something year old president. I need someone who, I don't know, could legally be a pilot in the United States. Maybe someone that young. I don't think we needed an 85-year-old senator to be reelected from California, but she was.
I didn't vote for her either.
I did not. I voted for the other fella, who was also a Democrat, because in California, the two top vote-getters in the primary face off.
You know, Chris did tell me something about KDL, though, that I didn't realize.
KDL?
Kevin DeLeon.
Okay.
That's his initial. Like, but I didn't realize this about, like, that I guess he prevented a number of votes that were, like, should have been, yeah. Like, she told me that there was some stuff where it was questionable why he would have, like, not voted for these things, but he held it up. I can't remember what it was, but never mind. I should have said anything.
Thanks for bringing it up.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks for adding.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, maybe we don't need to be electing 85-year-olds to 6-year terms.
No, it's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, and then she's already taken impeachment off for Trump, and she did the same bullshit when Obama got elected we're not going to investigate the Bush administration for war crimes or anything.
Now, are you talking about Pelosi or are you talking about Boxer?
Pelosi.
Okay, I'm talking about Barbara Boxer.
Oh.
Nancy Pelosi is not.
Feinstein,
that's right. Yeah. Barbara Boxer had the good sense to retire.
She retired, yeah.
They're all the same. These are old white women.
And Feinstein, too. Like, so anyhow, so like...
I'm talking about Dianne Feinstein.
The problem with Feinstein, this is one thing that I heard might happen, or like the idea that's going to happen is she's going to be in there for a couple of years, and then she's going to retire, and then Newsom gets to pick, put somebody into temporarily see like who he wants.
Sure.
So
sounds like king making bullshit to me.
It's
Jason.
Ridiculous.
It sounds like king making bullshit, and I don't care for it.
It's ridiculous.
But look, hey, by the way, anybody who's saying, "Oh, all you do is criticize Trump," here I am criticizing Democrats for running 85-year-olds and trying some bullshit. Oh, well, she's going to retire after 2 years, and Gavin Newsom gets to name somebody.
Yeah, no. I don't want him naming anybody. I didn't even want him as governor, man. Oh, my God.
Well, yeah, but it was him or John Cox.
Right, and I'm fucking like...
And I'm not voting for John Cox.
I'd rather eat a cock than vote for a cock. You know what I'm saying? Shit.
Yeah.
So, either way. Well, it's better than in Nevada because Dennis Hoff from HBO's Cat House, noted pimp, died a month ago and still won his election.
That's how you know he's a pimp.
All right. So, here's the thing. I'm curious, do the people in Nevada just unaware that he was dead because they don't watch the news? Or would they rather vote for a dead pimp than someone with a D after their name?
Yeah, I think it's that.
No, they just voted because he was a pimp. He was a P-I-M-P. They voted for him for he was a P-I-M-P.
Well, he beat Democratic educator Lisa Romanoff for the 36th Assembly District.
How ridiculous is that? How ridiculous? I mean, that's Nevada, right? I guess that's Nevada.
Well, the district is rural communities and large stretches of desert in the southern part of the state. So
I know. It's a lot of
cactus and rocks that he is representing from the grave.
And you know, a lot of them go to the cat house.
Sure. They're just not going to vote for a Democrat. So that's another issue where the party will be naming someone to replace him. I just thought that was interesting. Meanwhile, here's another big win for the Republican Party. A GOP candidate called Bigfoot Erotica devotee won his race in Virginia.
Good for him.
We talked about him on the show before. Denver Riggleman won handily over Democrat Leslie Coburn in the race for the 5th District in Virginia. During the campaign, Coburn leveled an unusual allegation. The former investigative journalist and 60 Minutes producer said Riggleman was unfit for office after a chapter of a book he authored about Bigfoot was published online. Riggleman said he wrote the book, The Mating Habits of Bigfoot and Why Women Want Him, as a joke amongst friends.
Oh, wow.
I'll buy that's a joke.
Yeah,
I will totally buy that's a joke. And Democrat Leslie Coburn, you lost because you have no sense of humor.
Yes,
one of my uptight women.
Yeah, it's kind of like how do you hear that
and go, well, this guy's a freak.
This guy's a freak. He needs to go.
I'm
going to
take everything literally.
Yeah,
I'm going to take everything very literally. all right, we're done with politics. Let's talk some sports.
No, fuck.
Let's talk.
Wait a second before we move away from politics.
Okay.
There was a Democrat that just won in, senator in
Arizona.
Oh.
She took John McCain's seat.
Good for her. All right. So how badly do Golden State Warriors fans want to just get into the building for a home game in Oakland? Well, we're going to soon find out. Because the team sent an email to its fans earlier today on Monday, offering a monthly in-the-building pass. The pass simply gets a fan into the team's Oracle Arena for every home game for $100 a month. Not bad, right? Except the mobile pass does not include a seat. It has no access to the seating bowl. Doesn't even include a view of the court.
So you can just go there and buy really expensive food and drinks?
Correct. The team says fans who purchase the pass will have access to the arena's bars and restaurants and can watch on the televisions in the club areas. Fans do have a chance to receive one of the Warriors giveaways if they are one of the first 10,000 people into the arena. So enjoy your Klay Thompson bobblehead. Fans can purchase up to 4 in-the-building passes, although each one must be connected to a name, and they are non-transferable. Warriors spokesperson Lisa Goodwin said the team plans to sell 200 of the passes each month, starting with November, and that the pass will automatically renew each month through April, as the offer is not being extended into the postseason.
Man.
Why? Well, there are currently 44,000 people on the Warriors season ticket waiting list. Just for the record, that's more than twice as many people that will fit into their arena on the waiting list. It's believed this is the first time a team has offered fans a ticket merely to get into the building without being able to see anything. The Cowboys, since 2009, have offered standing room only tickets to its games called party passes, but people in the first couple of rows can actually see the field.
Yeah, the Kings have a similar thing, but you can go upstairs. There's like a bar.
Sierra Nevada.
Yeah, you can go in there.
You can see the court.
Yeah, you can see the court in there.
You can't see the court with it.
That's crazy.
I mean,
you're a pretentious asshole if you buy that.
Oh, I went to the arena. I went and I paid for parking, and I went into the arena, and I sat in the bar, and I had $12 beers. You could have gone to Buffalo Wild Wings, my friend.
And had, like...
You know what you could do? Instead of doing that, you could buy yourself a 70-inch TV and watch the Warriors at home.
Yeah.
And you would end up spending less by the end of the year.
And
you could see the playoffs too.
Or how about this? Like, because it's probably like there's a good chance the person buying, yeah, a pretentious asshole, right? Right. Just I went out there. But really, if you thought about it, that this guy just saved like maybe 2 months of what he would spend there, like maybe $500, he could get an awesome hooker for a night. You know what I mean?
Like, that's what you need.
An hour. I mean, like, that's, I'm just, better chances, cheaper, like in,
back to the Buddy Ranch.
There you go. Like, you go out and see Dennis.
Oh,
too soon.
Too soon. All right, got some good news. I guess good news. Huh? Bryan Cranston has confirmed a Breaking Bad movie is in development.
What?
Mm-hmm. Although he's not sure he's in it. Following reports that Breaking Bad creator Vince Gilligan is prepping a 2-hour movie connected to the AMC series, Cranston called into the sports talk show The Dan Patrick Show and confirmed the project is indeed in the works. Now, Cranston hasn't yet read the script and that his character, Walter White, might not even be in it. Cranston said he would absolutely return to the character if he was in it. The 2-hour spinoff is set to begin shooting in Albuquerque in mid-November under the code name Greenbrier. The prequel series Better Call Saul concluded its fourth season last month. So, Breaking Bad movie, you in?
Maybe.
When I first heard it, I go, Breaking Bad movie. So he's not, oh, but spoiler alert, if you haven't seen the series, and yeah. Fuck you if you haven't.
Yeah.
So that means Walter White isn't dead at the end?
He sure seemed like he was dead at the end.
He seemed dead, but if there's a movie and he's in it, because you can't do a prequel, because that would just be him teaching high school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you definitely can't do a prequel.
Prequel.
And that's actually, the prequel would be Better Call Saul, to be honest.
Exactly.
That
it
is the prequel.
It is. I mean, is it Jesse Pinkman being a loser?
Yeah. I mean, like, it could follow Jesse Pinkman afterwards, you know? It could be following what happens with him.
Sure.
Because we're kind of seeing what's happening to Saul, what happens to...
You know what would be the biggest fuck you ever by Vince Gilligan? If he just made a... If his whole movie was based on Skyler White and just is like, oh my God, look how great Skyler White is, and she became the drug kingpin because she had the piles and piles of money. She teams up with Jesse Pinkman. Well, he has this theory because everybody hates Skyler White in Breaking Bad. They're like, she's fucking awful. Am I right, Kareem?
Yep.
Okay. Now, Vince Gilligan hated the idea that people hated Skyler White. He, in fact, went so far as to come out and say, if you hate Skyler White, then you're sexist. Which is bullshit because she's just awful. Now, granted, let me tell you the other thing. Another spoiler alert, by the way. I don't know why they even put this in the fucking series when his old college buddy shows up, offers him a really good paying job with full medical benefits. And at that point in the series, he's not wrapped up in being Heisenberg at all.
No, not at all.
So what in the name of God would a guy whose only goal was to take care of his family, that's why he was doing this, why would he then have such pride that he would turn down a job that he's really owed with full benefits, including great health benefits, to go, no, I'm going to continue to sell meth with my stoner student from high school? That pissed me off. I'm just saying. Vince Gilligan has pissed me off a couple of times with this fucking show.
Yeah.
That was one of the big ones. That, and when he came out, he was like, I don't know why I'm being like Skyler White. Well, because she's a bitch.
Yeah.
But
You don't defend Skylar White, you son of a bitch. Go on. Are you going to tell me how much your wife admires Skylar White?
No.
So you have to defend her?
Walter White is not the hero of the story. He is the villain. Like, I think that that's the thing that everybody gets mixed. Like, the one that all the bad stuff happens to just because she was married, like, she's the innocent one in so many ways to, like, what happened. Like, it's not her fault. Like,
was she innocent when she was fucking her boss?
Accomplices, not victims.
They became due association, like, because of... Anyhow, yeah, no, she wasn't, but at the same time...
She could have run.
She was not...
She could have gone.
Accomplices, not victims.
Anyhow, like, I guess that's all I got. Like, he's the villain. He's a villain in the, like, he's the anti-hero. He's not somebody that you should, like...
Who am I supposed to root for in that show?
No.
Who am I supposed to root for in...
Hopefully Jesse Pinkman.
Who am I supposed to root for in The Sopranos? Who am I supposed to root for...
Well, that's the thing that...
Who am I supposed to root for in Sons of Anarchy?
No,
these shows are meant for you to root for the flawed...
I know.
...villain hero, and that is Walter White.
Right.
And you set him up as a sympathetic character who's just trying to take care of his family...
I know.
...after cancer takes him down. Don't then turn around and go, oh, but he's the bad guy.
No,
fuck right off.
It's not a... Of course, okay.
Vince Gilligan has brought me so much joy and angst all at once.
When she slept with his boss, then she went to with her boss, then she went to being the bad guy.
Yep.
Hey, but what season was that?
I don't care. It doesn't matter. It does not matter. Her husband has cancer. He's dying, and she's out fucking her boss.
Yeah. Well,
there you go. That's it.
It happens.
That's right.
Yeah, you know what else happens? People falling through a restaurant ceiling. In Tennessee, a half-naked woman fell twice through a restaurant ceiling and landed in its kitchen. News outlets report 26-year-old Harley C. Morton was arrested on charges including trespassing and disorderly conduct. A Kingsport police report says a cookout employee called 911 when the naked bottom half of a woman dropped through the ceiling tiles. Hello, 911. What's your emergency? There's a bottom half of a naked woman poking through the ceiling tiles.
There's a coochie in the ceiling.
It says a responding officer found her wallet with her ID on the restaurant's roof. Police say she may have gotten into the ceiling through an air conditioning unit. It says Morton fell through the ceiling again while the officer was on the roof. It says she landed on the floor and was arrested by other officers. It's unclear if she has a lawyer or not.
There's some coochie on the ceiling.
Yeah, what she doesn't have? Panties. You'd think one pantsless person falling through a ceiling would be enough. Oh no. let's go now. Also in the South, this is in Alabama, where they're still looking for a man who was caught on video falling through the ceiling of a Waffle House and then shoving customers as he ran out of the restaurant while pantsless. So, two neighboring states, two people falling through restaurant roofs without pants.
That shit happened.
Kareem, what's going on in the South?
That really had to hurt.
Police say West... Oh, here we go. Hear what it sounds like.
It's not too often you see police dumbfounded.
I've been doing this almost 11 years, and it's probably the weirdest thing I've seen.
Caught on camera, a man falls through the ceiling tiles of Waffle House Sunday morning in Tuscumbia, leaving him smothered and covered in insulation. He then struggles to recover and attempts to make it out the door. You may notice the man is running around in his underwear. Sergeant Wes Holland says he left his pants behind in the bathroom, where he did thousands of dollars in damage.
Demolished the bathroom and broke the toilet, the sink, ripped a light fixture down, climbed up in the ceiling, and then just just wreaked havoc.
If this story isn't bizarre enough, police say when the guy took his pants off in the bathroom, he left his photo ID in his pocket, letting them know exactly who he is. 27-year-old Wesley Boast of Birmingham is the man identified in the video. We've seen the video, know who he is. The only remaining question, why?
Talking to the witnesses at the scene, they said that you could tell he was definitely high on something.
Boast led police on a short chase, which ended in Sheffield. Along with his ID, police also have his car. Boast is still on the run. In Tuscumbia, Carter Watkins, WHNT, News 19.
Well, they got his car. He's definitely on the run.
They got his car, they got his ID, and they've got his pants, but they do not have him.
Wow.
What is going on?
I wonder what he was on. That's what I want to know.
The floor.
Yeah.
He's on some good shit.
Some of that methamphetamine.
I mean, seriously, how likely is it you'd get two different people in neighboring states falling through the roofs of restaurants without pants on?
Weren't they both white people?
Unclear about the lady.
Yeah.
I'm clear about the lady, but he was the guy was white.
Yeah.
He was as white as Jason. Now, I don't know if this fellow was white or not, but police say a baggage handler told them he was drunk when he fell asleep in a cargo hold and flew from Kansas City to Chicago.
Oh, wow.
American Airlines says the Piedmont Airlines employee was working American Flight 363 when a Boeing 737 left Kansas City International Airport with the handler in a heated and pressurized cargo hold. So he got lucky there. Chicago police spokesman Anthony Guglielmi says that he was found when the flight landed about an hour later at O'Hare. Spokesman says the handler told police he was intoxicated and had fallen asleep. No charges were filed, and he was sent back to Kansas City. American says it's grateful the handler wasn't injured and is reviewing what happened. His name was not released, but he has been fired.
Oh, he should be.
for being so drunk at work, he passed out in the cargo hold?
Yeah.
The fact that he just admitted it. Just like he's like,
what are you going to do? I mean, you're in a different city.
Yeah. Try to figure it out, man. Try to figure it out. You're like, because like you know that he woke up like halfway through it, right? He had to have woken up like halfway through and been like, "Oh, I am fucked." That's when like you're like, "Okay, let me get into one of these bags, find some clothes that fit, sneak out of here."
He's like, "Yeah, I won't be at work tomorrow for the rest of the day."
Hey, you haven't punched out yet.
Oh, I forgot.
Nope, I indeed have not punched out.
Oh, man. That sounds like some classic mafia shit. Doesn't that sound like something that would like the mafia would have done to some guy? Like they're sending him back to Chicago. They're like, "Hey, how about this? You can take the long way home." Throw him in the cargo hold.
Yeah. It was bad times for him, but and of course now he's got to find another job. Reason for leaving last job? Oh, I was drunk and fell asleep in a cargo hold.
Man,
can't imagine why.
You got one of those good airport jobs and you fuck it up.
You ever wonder why your bag is delayed or lost? Well, they're drunk. They're drunk.
It makes so much sense now.
Meanwhile, a Florida psychologist, this is not Florida Corner, by the way. We've got plenty of that later. A Florida psychologist who has compared homosexuality to obsessive compulsive disorder and claimed that he could change clients' sexual orientation through therapy was found soliciting hookups on gay dating apps.
No.
According to LGBTQ nonprofit Truth Wins Out, his name's Norman Goldwasser, a clinical director of the Horizon Psychological Services in Miami Beach, allegedly used the screen named Hot and Harry 72.
Hot and Harry 72?
Mm-hmm. Hot and Harry 72 to meet other men on Manhunt and Gay Bear Nation. I didn't even know those were things.
Oh, yeah.
You say, "Oh, yeah." Is there something you need to tell us? Or you need to tell Chris?
Oh, you know.
Oh, yeah. The Manhunt profile, which has since been deleted, includes several nude images that appear to be Goldwasser and lists a number of interests including dating, kissing, married men, massage, and a series of more explicit activities, according to screenshots provided to NBC News by Truth Wins Out.
Wow. Butt fucking. Cack sucking. What else is there?
Well,
rim jobbing. I don't know.
So here's the theory I'm going to go on. The conversion therapy got he got the whammy put on him.
Oh.
And instead of converting the gays, he got converted.
I probably was. It's evil. The demons got him. The demons got him.
The demons.
You didn't need to.
I know.
Need to see some Jesus.
Really shocking. Let's see if I can find. Here we go. Here's his profile from Gay Bear Nation, Jason.
All right. Oh, you can't see his face because he has his phone up in front of him.
Well, yeah.
That's classic.
This is, I guess that would be from the other one. You can see his face there.
Oh, yeah.
He seemed to keep himself in good shape.
Mm-hmm.
It's another tip-off.
Yeah.
He got caught by the dick-sucking demon.
Oh, how often does this happen? If you're really that upset about the gays, then you're really upset with yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something you gotta figure out. Bro.
Alright, I think we all know why Lady Gaga's playing.
Because she's Florida. Fucking awesome?
Land of enchantment. And crazy shit. This is Florida Corner.
Alright, this is Florida Corner. The other was just adjacent Florida Corner.
That was I'm a swoosh.
Meet Alonzo Liverman. Short on cash, the 29-year-old Floridian allegedly offered to provide a salad to a prostitute in exchange for oral sex. Kareem.
Sounds like a good exchange.
he's one of yours, Kareem. He was arrested on a Monday morning during a reverse sting that netted 9 other men for soliciting a prostitute. The hookers in question were actually undercover Daytona Beach police officers. While negotiating a liaison with a female officer, Liverman, who was operating a bicycle...
Operating a bicycle.
...revealed that he did not have any money. I'm hungry. You got food? The undercover asked. Liverman replied, I got a salad. I'll give you a blowjob for a salad, the cop declared. Liverman said, you ready to go? Wait a minute. Hold
Get
on.
Get the fuck out
hold
of
on.
Here.
Hold on. Hold on. She the... Hold it. He didn't offer the salad for the blow. She asked for the salad for a blowjob. I'm calling it entrapment.
That's some fucked up shit. Like, that is.
According to all the TV cop shows I've seen, this is entrapment. This is not okay.
This is called. Let's get some
shit. That's called a date.
Yeah, seriously.
Like, what are you talking about?
Like, this dude, look at his face. Like, look at him. He's just like. The chick asked, she told me she'd give me a blowjob for a salad. How am I supposed to say no? Like, yeah, I'm going to say you ready to go.
Okay, now, he was busted because he and the cop agreed upon sexual acts in exchange for food. During the court appearance, the Daytona
Beach... That's a date!
Yeah, right? Well, he pleaded no contest to the misdemeanor charge, for which he was found guilty by a circuit court judge. He was sentenced to 2 days in jail and fined $500.
Fuck that shit, man.
That means every date I've been on has been a hooker. That's a prostitute.
That's some fucked up shit. Like, that is... Like, that's some fucked up shit. Like, you don't... That is so... Like, I
would love to have... I really miss having Christiana on the show for this very exchange, because this is a law question. Now, laws in Florida may be different, but this seems like entrapment to me.
It's pretty ridiculous.
If the cop is the one who says, I will offer this service to you for this, I mean...
I'm sorry. You offered to suck dick for a salad.
Yeah, and if you're... Like, that's a... Man.
She had to be like a new cop on the beat.
The whole solicitation, like... You know,
she had to be runt.
But I mean, like,
she had to be a bad looking hooker in order for him to think that she would actually suck his dick for a salad.
That's why the look on his face is like, I can't believe I fucking fell for it. Like, I should have known something was wrong. Like, the look on his face is like, man, everybody's gonna talk. Like, everybody's gonna say you fucking idiot. All my buddies are gonna say like, You thought a chick was going to give you a blowjob for a salad?
You're going to have to at least buy dessert for a blowjob.
You need at least 3 courses and a couple of drinks.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Oh, poor guy. Like that is shit. That is so shitty. That is so, like, I want to create a GoFundMe for this guy because that's some fucked up shit. Like, that Go is ahead. That is the most like that is the most ridiculous thing. Like, I cannot believe that they arrested some dude for that. Like, if you're not even a gay guy, might go to, like might be okay for like a yeah, blowjob's a blowjob. I mean, like you never know, because honestly, if there was a femme gay guy and he was like, I'll suck your dick for a salad, I'd be like, okay, I got my salad, you can have it. I mean, listen, sometimes the straights get rough. You know what I'm saying? Like, you get,
yeah, but even the girls that do suck dick for salad don't tell you that they're going to suck your dick for
no,
salad.
No, they never do. That's what I'm saying.
That should have been your tip-off right there.
But at the same time, who's going to say no to that?
By the way, he got 2 days in jail and $500 fine for being stupid. Let's call that what it is. He got jail time and fine for being stupid.
The sad thing about it, though, is like he probably lost his job because his picture's all over the place now. Now he's known as the salad blowjob guy.
He didn't have a job.
And it's an expensive salad,
think
too.
So?
It is.
Yes. And usually it's an expensive salad for a blowjob.
He was in Daytona Beach operating a bicycle, Jason. This isn't Sacramento where you'll ride your bike to work. This is Daytona Beach. This dude did not have a job. I guarantee it.
Yeah, and he should have known, because he's probably in a neighborhood where he actually really knows everybody, so he should have known if she was strange that, yeah.
Can't pass up this blowjob for salad, man.
Well, that's a hell of a deal.
I got one of these $3.99 fresh packs.
Right.
I got the Supreme Caesar one, 25 cents more.
That's it.
I got the special dressing for you, honey. Hold on.
All right. That was
too much.
Too much.
Too far.
Too far.
She said salad for a blowjob.
Salad shooter.
Sorry, guys. My mom's calling.
Oh well. Oh, no. Go ahead and take that. I'm going to pot Kareem down there. It's moving on. A Florida man was also injured on Tuesday after he broke into St. Augustine Alligator Farm Zoological Park and jumped into a pond full of crocodiles. Surveillance video shows the man jumping into the crocodile pit.
Oh, man.
He was also wearing Crocs when it happened.
No.
To add to the irony, he left them behind. Workers were getting the exhibit ready for opening on Tuesday morning when they found evidence of a break-in. Several lamps and signs were broken, and the statue in the middle of the crocodile ponds, which can only be reached by swimming, was toppled.
Oh my God.
CBS 47 was on the
Mary's scene. Wholesale Furniture.
Oh, Mary's Wholesale Furniture.
Guaranteed
oh.
lowest prices in town.
Oh, the lowest prices in town.
Bedrooms start at $7.95.
Oh,
living rooms start at $6.99.
Well,
Mary's Wholesale Furniture.
That's an ugly vase.
And the lowest.
It's on West Beaver Street.
Oh,
it was in St. Augustine right now. A live look from Sky Action News Jax, where a man jumped into a crocodile exhibit at the alligator farm. What that man told police happened before he escaped. Only in Florida. That man apparently broke into the alligator farm. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Phil Amato.
And I'm Dawn Lopez. Action News Jax Ryan Nelson is live right now in St. Augustine. Ryan, the manager there tells you that there is surveillance video of this bizarre incident.
And Dawn, it seems like almost a weekly occurrence now that we hear an interesting Florida man story. And this is just the latest in the long line that we've heard this year alone. I actually spoke to the park director in the last 15 minutes, and I want to give you an idea of what he tells me occurred here overnight and what the staff actually discovered when they arrived early this morning. So they came here.
Okay, this reporter has the biggest shit-eating grin on his face. By the way, dude, you live in Florida, too. You are also a Florida man.
Yeah, you're Florida.
And you're telling this story with such great these fucking idiots. You're one of them. Oh, sorry, Kareem. Let me get back up here.
Maybe they should come over to their own Florida corner.
To the alligator farm show. In St. Augustine. They say they show up around 7 a.m. They saw evidence that someone had broken in. When they started to look around, they actually found, of all pieces of shoes that they may be able to find, they found Crocs and shorts. And they initially thought that this may have been a prank. They thought that someone was trying to make it look like someone had been eaten by the alligators, but then they start looking around, and then that's when they were able to discover blood. And in this actual crocodile exhibit, they found there were three 12-foot Nile crocodiles there. They actually discovered blood in the upper platform zip line, and here the park director tells us how they were able to piece together what may have happened.
And we start looking around, and there's a floating shoe, oddly enough, one of those rubber crocodile croc shoes, in the pool, and somebody's shorts are in the pool, and we start thinking, okay, well, you know, it looks like somebody wants us to think a crocodile ate somebody, but there's not a body. We know they couldn't have swallowed. Even three 12-foot crocodiles couldn't have consumed a whole human body overnight.
Good to know.
Good to know.
Good to know. And meanwhile, the director of this facility also shit-eating grin on his face. He's telling the story. They've become sentient to how stupid the entire state they live in is. Absolutely amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't lying about the crocs.
No.
I need to go back and pull some bites out of that story. Because I think it's important. All right. So, around the country, here's what your state is Googling about Thanksgiving this year. Hmm. Thanksgiving's coming up, next week.
Next week.
Is it next week?
Yeah.
It's next week. It's the 22nd.
It's like the earliest it can be.
It is. It's the earliest it can be.
It's the truth.
You're correct. It can be no earlier. I love these stories where it's like, here's what everybody in your state's Googling. All right. In Alabama, Indiana, Georgia, and Kentucky, they're Googling restaurants open on Thanksgiving near me. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't feel like cooking. In Alaska, they're Googling pumpkin pie.
Hmm.
Meanwhile, in Arizona, California, Florida, Idaho, Nevada, New Mexico, North Carolina, South Carolina, Texas, and Utah, we're Googling, when is Thanksgiving? It's next week. Just FYI.
Oops.
Wow.
In Colorado, I don't know what's going on there, but weed is legal and has been. They're Googling turkey bowling.
Turkey bowling?
Turkey bowling.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, in Delaware, Hawaii, Massachusetts, North Dakota, and Rhode Island, they're Googling the NFL on Thanksgiving Day to see who's playing. These assholes in Oregon and the District of Columbia are Googling vegetarian Thanksgiving.
Fuck that shit.
Who is playing on Thanksgiving?
The Lions and the Cowboys.
Oh, last year we went to one of Chris's. We were in Seattle for Thanksgiving. And Chris's friend, we went to a vegan Thanksgiving.
Right, you were telling me about that.
Oh, man.
Well, Ted, when Ted and Becca were on the show, there was always a vegan Thanksgiving.
Oh, that's right.
And their field roast, or as I called it, field loaf.
Yeah. A bunch of vegetables?
Yeah, who fucking knows? It's a bunch of nonsense is what it is. Meanwhile, in Iowa, Kansas, Maine, Maryland, Michigan, Minnesota, Montana, Nebraska, Ohio, and Tennessee, you know, the dumb states, what is Thanksgiving? That's what they were Googling.
Okay.
What is Thanksgiving?
The hungry, hungry people in the South, that would be Mississippi, Louisiana, Arkansas, and Oklahoma. That's a block of states, too. They were Googling pecan pie. In Missouri, they were pondering, does Canada celebrate Thanksgiving?
Does it?
Yeah, and it's in October. It's the same day as our Columbus Day. That's Canadian Thanksgiving. In New Hampshire, they're Googling how to cook a turkey. I guess that makes sense. In New York, it's the Macy's Parade is what they're Googling, and that's incredibly obvious. The dipshits in Virginia, New Jersey, and in Pennsylvania, hi dipshits, Googling, does England celebrate Thanksgiving?
Get the fuck out of here.
Serious as a heart attack.
Wow.
In South Dakota, they're Googling things to be thankful for. In Connecticut and Vermont, stuffing is what they're Googling. Friendsgiving is big in Illinois and Washington state. The first Thanksgiving in West Virginia, I'm guessing that's a lot of people Googling for their kids. In Wisconsin, everyone's off to run a 5K because they're Googling turkey trot. And in Wyoming, Thanksgiving games. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt and say they're looking for the NFL games on Thanksgiving. So, comes to us from our friends at iHeartRadio. Do you heart radio, Jason?
Mm.
Do you not heart radio?
Mm.
No?
I don't know, man. Like, I listen to the radio. Like, Chris, my relationship with the radio right now, because I'm usually generally always putting on a podcast.
Sure.
As soon as I get in the car.
Well, all the smart people are.
Yes, we are.
Hello, audience.
So that's why I usually listen to podcasts while I drive. Or I'll put on Pandora because it's a curated playlist for the most part, right? It's pretty, when I listen to the radio, like, you have to listen to commercials. I don't really care for radio. Like, and when I listen to it, like, then I hear, like, I feel old. Because I listen to the music and I'm like, I don't really
like
this. I
hate having to listen to commercials. But by the way, if you're going to be shopping this holiday season and shopping Amazon anyway, go ahead and click that Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com. Help support the show. Doesn't cost you anything extra. So
zero.
Thank you, everybody, for doing that. All right. I don't know where we are on the show, but I know it's time for this.
Let's leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
Okay. I checked in, and the people of Plattsburgh, New York, are very upset, and they've decided to vent their feelings on Speak Out.
Well, let's hear it.
Where's the Tea Party? The deficit is exploding under the Republicans. Now that their tax cut favors the rich more than the average Joe, they don't really care. They sure were worried about deficit spending when Obama was president. Now they've disappeared.
Good question.
Hey, shame on those who are vandalizing signs that do not support Republican Party candidates. Two of my signs were recently victims. One was thrown into a ditch and the other one was cut with either a razor or a knife. Whatever happened with free speech and the choice of candidate? I see this as a sign of degradation of decency and truth that now emanates from the White House and Congress. This is not the America I grew up with. Shame on all those who support this hateful speech and activity. So apparently, around Plattsburgh, the Republicans are the ones who are defacing science.
That's funny.
The library exposes young children to drag queens for story time, normalizing gender identity issues, and the local media revels in it. Stop indoctrinating our children into these lifestyles.
All right, yay.
I don't know if this person wrote in twice to speak out, because we had it last week, too.
Right.
Or if they just said, you know what, let's print it twice. Hey, I'm waiting for this paper to change its name to the Press Democrat. Because it's the Press Republican.
Oh. Fucking idiots.
Oh, boy. The press. That's a funny one. They're called the Press Democrat. I think them good.
Yeah, I'm going to call that guy a racist.
I would like to defend our outdoor club. For the past 5 years, we have been harassed by one person who wants to hunt behind it. The club has been there from the 60s. The club is awesome and loved by many.
Get the fuck out of here. The place has been there since the 1960s and somebody's now complaining about it. Get the fuck out of here.
There were three in last week's Speak Out.
It sounds like the same person. Dude. Like, gentrifying. It's gentrifying.
Tedra Cobb has received tremendous unpaid advertising throughout her campaign against a Republican incumbent. Neither Senator Gillibrand nor Governor Cuomo's Republican opponents have received a whiff of attention. No such thing as liberal media bias, right?
Can't they pay for their own ads?
Well, they're saying they get free ads. Board members of nonprofit agencies need to take notice of what's going on. Do a survey of how staff feel where they work and how they feel the executive directors are doing their job. They only hear what directors tell them, not what's really going on. Take action now before it's too late. Signed, person who hates their boss.
Yeah. Wow.
The president's in-laws became American citizens by chain migration, which he wants to outlaw. The president employs workers in foreign countries in his business ventures.
How is Stacey Abrams not qualified for public office, according to the president? How was he qualified to be president? VP Pence declared himself important at a rally. Interesting. The president is inciting his most radical supporters to violence with all of his fear-mongering politics. It has to stop. It's not going to stop.
No. Doubling down, baby.
Everyone wants free healthcare, free college, free this, and free that without working for it. The thing with socialism is eventually you run out of other people's money.
I'm guessing that this guy probably doesn't have much money.
Dude, you're already paying for healthcare for a bunch of people who can't afford insurance. We're paying more than we would if we actually had healthcare for everybody. You're an idiot and you're buying it.
That's right.
Hey, both legal and illegal immigration to the United States is down, including the caravans. This is completely overhyped fear-mongering by Trump. How stupid and afraid are his supporters?
Very.
And really, really, really. And finally, allegations of voter fraud in the U.S. are cover for Republican-led voter suppression of minorities.
Hashtag truth.
Voter suppression.
A lot of politics in Speak Out this time.
Yeah, I thought you said no more politics in today's show.
Well, we're at the end. Speak out.
A lot of voter suppression in America.
Yeah, it's all them Republicans being suppressed.
Suppressing.
Boxes and boxes of votes.
Man.
Yeah. It's not crazy.
Not providing
time.
Electrical cords to voting machines.
Hey, keeping way more sequestered than they're supposed to be also.
700 machines in bubble wrap.
What was it? Michael Che was talking about Stacey Abrams on Saturday Night Live. He said she's running against Brian Kemp, a Republican, white guy, in Georgia, and he's in charge of the election.
Yeah.
That would be like playing LeBron in a game of one-on-one on LeBron's home court with LeBron as the referee.
Yeah. No, Kobe, because Kobe would cheat. LeBron would actually play you straight up.
Look, I'm just quoting Che here. Settle down.
I'm just telling you.
I'm quoting Che. That's what happened. All right, let's see. I'll give you a little tip in. Ooh, there's a new product at KFC. We'll talk about that on Friday's show. Plus, we'll look at what red and blue America have in common.
Oh.
So we're going to be uniters and not dividers.
Okay.
Speak for yourself.
Plus, we got some weird animal encounters to talk about.
What?
Yeah, it's all coming up on Friday's episode. Everybody, be good to yourselves and each other, and just remember, it could always be worse. If you don't believe me, just wait and see what Trump does this week. Ah! See you on Friday.